Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The following intro is made by Scott because Brian had to go. Mentos, the reef maker. You can't dream of a big salad. McDonald's glory hole. I snored 40 pounds ago. The squirrel conspiracy. You're in so much trouble now, crane operator. Spit a bean and go home. Making things with Bill and a little science with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
They say we're in a banana republic. I think that's an insult to banana republics across the country. I mean, at least the manager at Banana Republic, unlike our president, knows where he is and why he's there and what he's doing.
Nothing like going to Walmart.
The Morning Stream, into daring rescue action.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for August 16th, 2022. I'm Scott and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
So real quick here, this is a person running for Congress. I just want to play this one more time.
They say we're in a banana republic. I think that's an insult to banana republics across the country. I mean, at least the manager at Banana Republic, unlike our president, knows where he is and why he's there and what he's doing.
He said that seriously. He meant that.
He really thinks that the term, the general term Banana Republic refers to the store and not to...
Because he's some doughhead idiot, and I watched him in an interview, and the interview was dead serious, and the guy looked at him like, I'm not even going to follow up on that. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let that go.
And I keep looking on the mall directory for Kangaroo Court, and I can't find it.
Can't find it anywhere.
I see the food court. Where's the Kangaroo Court?
He's one of the Carolinas. I forget which, and I don't remember the guy's name. But good luck down there.
So we can make fun of him. I don't know yet if I feel good about making fun of the. There's nothing like a.
Going to Walmart.
It feels like she's doing a voice.
Yeah,
like it's not her real voice, but I'm not sure. Like,
Well, she did a post where, because she gets this all the time, and she did a post where she says, "This is my real voice, and if you don't like it, you can just not follow my account anymore." And like that was her thing.
Oh no, I love it. I just, I hope. never mind.
You hope what? What do you hope? Is that going to get you in trouble?
I hope dating her, she provides the ice picks for your ears.
Gotcha.
Is what I was going to say. Yes, that's what I was going to say, but I decided not to because I'm a nice person.
She seems to be married and has kids, and I can't tell.
They all have deeper voices than her.
I can't tell how they feel about it. There's no way to know.
I know. Like, if she was my wife, I couldn't come on this show and be like, oh, yeah, Tina said... Because it'd be like, oh, that's a pretty dead-on impersonation, Brian. It's really close.
No, the fun of your impersonation is that it's nothing like her voice.
Is that it's so far away from Tina's voice.
Yeah. That's the fun of it.
That's the joke there.
Yeah, that's the joke, see?
Yeah, it's the humor.
So here's the deal. We got a show today, all the Tuesday trimmings, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
What was I going to tell you? Oh, I know. Before I get to this list, so last night... I had a bunch of spaghetti. Okay. Uh-huh. And I think that contributes to dreams. Now, I ate early. It was like before 7. So I was like, I had a nice, I don't know, till 11 o'clock or before I went to bed. So I had a big bunch of time for your usual biological digestion zone. You know, it's fine. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But I still think these dreams, these wackadoo dreams I have, might be fueled by what I eat. So now some of you at home are going, yeah, you load it up on pasta. It's not pasta. I do these bean-based spaghetti noodles, which is totally giving away our news thing.
It's basta is what it is.
Basta. I forgot basta. The beans. Not garbanzo. It's like...
Mung. It's probably mung beans. Is it mung?
I forgot. They're really good, though. And good for you and less... You know, sure. Less pasta like and all that. Yeah. But I think anytime I eat, like if I go to bed forgetting to have dinner, just like it was a busy night and I never ate or whatever. And then I go to bed, I never dream. If I eat, I dream. I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah. I think my body's like, hey, look at all these fresh nutrients. I'm going to show you some shit. Get ready for this. And I'm going to show
Wait, let's go back to the not eating. Like you just eat dinner really early or don't eat dinner at all, or what's the deal?
No. I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying on those nights, the rare times where I have done that, because for whatever reason, you're on a trip or you're busy or I got home late or whatever it is, and
those
I didn't
are nights
eat
you don't dream. Okay, so it's not like a regular, taking your weird fasting thing to new and horrifying levels.
Dangerous heights. None of that. I'm saying is the nights I have the worst dreams are the nights where I have eaten to bed and large amounts. Does that make sense? Like a larger meal. Yeah. I'm not like pigging out or anything, but you know, a big plate of this pasta bean thing with a bunch of fresh, you know, meat sauce on it. When I eat like that, boom, bam, every night, all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. All right. Well,
if I did the bag of salad at night, I probably wouldn't have these dreams, you know? Maybe I should do that.
Those are nutrients too.
Yeah, but they're not this. I don't think they're like the
you're thinking like heavier nutrients or heavier food.
Heavier food, like
well,
lighter
why don't
fare.
You test it? Why don't you have a bag of salad for dinner?
I'll try it tonight.
This week and see if you dream. Because I'd be willing to bet that it has nothing to do with what you eat. But
really,
but who knows? Maybe it does. Dreams feel like one of those things that science just hasn't been able to figure out. If we could tap in and harness the power of dreams, then all of our dreams could come true.
Yeah. I'm curious if anyone out there, like, send us your emails. Have you dreamt differently if you eat more closer to bed? And like, does that cause you any kind of issues? And I don't mean like, oh, I had heartburn, so I woke up and was grumpy. I don't mean like that. Yeah. I mean like, you know, did you have a, I don't know, like a steak dinner at 9?
If I drink heavily, like you're not, you know, heavily, if I go to bed more than buzzed, maybe borderline just drunk.
Yeah.
I don't do that as much anymore. You know, like thinking about the actual term, Brian, how was the last time you were drunk? And I'm like, well, I mean, even TMS Vegas, I didn't get drunk. I got tipsy.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly wouldn't have been able to drive. I certainly, you know, was laughing a little bit more than usual, but,
you weren't sloshed.
I weren't sloshed. I wasn't sloshed by any stretch. Yeah. So,
no.
But when I do drink, then it does affect my dreams. So maybe there's something to what you're describing.
It could be because, you know, I mean, of course, in drinking's case, alcohol goes straight to your senses and stuff. I don't know the terms for all this, but so maybe that's different, but I don't know.
Claire says, you didn't get drunk on the high roller. To my my reply was no, I did my best, but it's all you can drink, and I drank. You know, there was never a time that I was waiting for another drink. It was in my hand, even more so than the actual night of TMS Vegas, when both Shelley and Barry were making sure that I always had a full drink at all times. At times, I had two full drinks in front of me.
I was sure Shelley was trying to kill you at one point. She was having.
She tries, but she can't do it.
She just can't.
She can't do it. No. Yeah, I'm too strong.
Anyway,
strong like bull.
The two drunkest times I've ever seen Brian here are the two times. You want to know the two times?
Here's
the two
times. Oh, I know one of them.
Yeah, one of them
it was on Periscope.
One of them was a late night Periscope at Dave's house. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's probably, I think it was my first time I'd seen you quite that drunk.
Probably.
And second time was Vegas 2019. After your what's that thing called?
That you jumped the parachute, off of? The jump.
Yeah, after that you got pretty loaded.
You know what? That I think I did because probably something to do with the adrenaline. Again, people kept handing me drinks that night, and of course I drank them.
Yep.
Because I'm
you're a gracious receiver of drinks.
A courteous. If you hand me a drink,
yeah,
as long as it's not thickened or yogurt soda.
those two exceptions. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, he'll drink it. But yeah, those are the only two times. So I would say that you're not all that drunk that often. You know,
I don't. You know, I hope people are try and keep it within my, like, keep me on the same track, right? Like, if I'm drinking nothing but gin and tonics, don't come up to me with a grasshopper or a Colorado Bulldog or a White Russian or something that's got milk in it or something. You know, a dairy. One of those drinks that has dairy in it.
Yeah, don't do that. But maybe don't do that ever.
No creme de menthe, please.
Yeah. Oh, is that? I didn't realize a creme de menthe meant it had cream in it. I guess that makes sense because creme is cream.
It's right there in the name, Scott.
Yeah, it's right there.
Also has ment in it.
It's got some ment. Ooh, it's menty fresh.
It's menthe. Yeah, creme de menthe.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, anyway.
All right.
Anyway. I'm going to now share with you a cool list I found.
Cool.
All right. I'm pretty happy with this. Let me pull this up. Okay. So once in a while, we try to do some, you know, like a little quiz for Brian or whatever. These are more just facts that I want to quiz you about or kind of poke you with.
Okay. That's good because I did trivia last night. We came in second.
Oh, nicely done.
I tried to talk us into one right answer and people talked me out of it. But then I turned around and I talked us out of a right answer into a wrong answer. So it all came out just fine. And we lost by 1 point. So had... neither of those two things happened, we would have won. But anyway.
That's fantastic. All right, so check this out. Do you have any desire at all to be buried at sea? Is that a thing you've ever thought about?
Yeah, it's crossed my mind, yeah.
Okay, like throw your ashes out there or whatever.
Yeah, my real goal is to be buried in a gold statuette and dumped into a deep part of like South America or Africa where a village can find my statue and
worship
me as a god.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be the great white god of the north.
Yeah, so it's like, wow, look at this god in his funny hat.
Yeah.
That's basically what they'd say. Yeah.
What would they call you, do you think? Do you have a name they'd give you?
Sal.
Wow.
That's what they'd call me, yeah. Sal. All hail Sal.
Yeah, all hail Sal. May his blessings touch our home.
The great golden god Sal.
That's right, fantastic. Anyway, yes, well, here's the deal.
Sure.
So here's the thing. I got a company here that will turn dead bodies into ocean reef. Because, you know, some of the ocean reef is either in danger or gone. And so their deal is, if you've ever romanticized being buried at sea, the company Eternal Reefs offers an innovative solution. It mixes the cremated remains of a person with concrete to create a pearl onto which loved ones can etch personal messages, handprints, or even environmentally friendly mementos. When I first read it, I thought it said Mentos.
I will write the fresh maker.
Yeah, you know, the fresh maker.
Yeah.
The pearl is then encased in a reef ball that is dropped into the sea where it provides a new habitat for fish and other sea life. So basically, on top of this ball, what you picture in your head is a reef builds
barnacles
on top of it.
And things can attach to it and continue growth, growth.
Circle of life, man. You could be that ball down there.
I kind of like that only because, I mean, it feels like it's a lot of effort when they could just say, yeah, we're going to create a section of reef dedicated to you.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, they're the whole pearl and etching and all that stuff. It's like, oh, great. If you have the power to do all this other stuff of like recreating the reef stuff, let's say we take the pearl and the etching and all that stuff out of it. How much more could you do?
Yeah.
And then could you just say this section of reef right here is the Bill Jones reef?
Yeah. It's the section. It's the Brian Emmett Memorial Reef.
That's yeah.
I look at
that. I'd be cool about.
Okay. You'd be for eternity. Brian would be into reefer. All right, here's another weird thing for you. So there's a monkey or an ape called the bonobo.
Sure, right? I've heard of the bonobo monkeys.
Yeah, bonobos are common.
Yep,
and they're not called that on purpose. That was an accident. The name bonobo resulted from a misspelling. All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So check this out. Researchers reputedly first found the animals in the town of Bolobo, Zaire, in the 20s. B-O-L-O-B-O.
Okay.
But the name of the place was misspelled bonobo on the shipping crate in which the animal was placed. So when it got to the other place, they went, oh, this is the bonobo, and it stuck, and that was it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Real bummer.
So forever...
Yeah, it's a bummer for the namesake.
Forever moops, basically, is what you are. Yeah.
I just watched that last night, that exact episode.
Did you, that episode?
It was on. Awesome. Yeah, I'm sorry, the name is Moops. It's a great episode.
Oh, TRPW corrects us. Bonobos are apes, not monkeys.
Fuck yeah, I thought I said apes. I said monkey at first, and then I said apes, yeah. Rather. And then he didn't hear me. That's what happened.
Yeah.
All right. There is an annual coffee break festival. You could go to this.
Oh.
Look at you right
just
now.
Just as I poured myself a new cup of coffee, yeah. I will take a sip as you regale me with
yeah, look at his nude cup of coffee he's got right there. 4 million people. For 4 million people, the coffee break is key and often an unappreciated part of each day to stop and give the break its proper due. But in the town of Stoughton, Wisconsin, they host a annual coffee. I swear that Wisconsin hosts a everything festival all the time. Yeah. There's always something going on. Anyway, the gathering includes coffee tastings, brew offs. Yeah. So you try to compete
coffee
there.
Brew off.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Bean spitting contests. Would you do that? Would you enjoy that?
Sure. Like you would just put a coffee bean in your mouth so you can spit it the furthest.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be
sure,
all right.
Sure.
According to city officials, the coffee break was born in the city in the late 1800s as women worked at a local Gunderson's tobacco warehouse, and they began the ritual of pausing during the workday to brew up some coffee and have a chat. They think they invented the coffee break, and so now they celebrate.
So this place, Stoughton, is just 20 miles southeast of Madison. It's actually really close to Madison.
Nice. See, that's great.
Yeah, easy, an easy fly in, do a spit of bean, and get back on the plane and go home.
Yep. Yeah. Here's another fun fact. Dolphins, you know, the mammal. They're a mammal. Before you tell me wrong in the chat, I know they're mammals.
Dolphin fish. Yes, the fish known as dolphins.
The fish
yes,
known as dolphins. They sleep with one eye open the whole time.
What? No way, really?
Yeah.
like the mob told them to or something.
Yeah, I guess they're mostly...
If I was you, I'd sleep with one eye open.
You've wronged my family for the last time. You better sleep with one eye open. Heck, I already do it.
Yeah, I already do it. It's part of my my mammal heritage. All right.
Oh my God! So many people in the chat room follow up with, "Do they grip their pillows tight?"
Yeah. Oh, no kidding.
Sleep with one eye open, like a dolphin.
I just listened to that yesterday. This is all very weird. You guys are freaking out.
Wow, weird. It's like we premonition night of the TMS the next day.
It's happening. Anyway, they say this is because they're on the constant lookout for predators, marine animals like them have developed this neat trick of maintaining partial consciousness even as their brain sleeps. Wish I could do this. I guess I kind of do this
every day during TMS.
Yeah. I kept hearing myself. I heard myself snort in the night last night.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. It wasn't like a full-on, like, or anything. It was just like me going, and I went, ah! I kind of woke up like, shit. That was louder than it's supposed to be.
Really? Yeah. No, do you, you know, we've talked about this before. If Kim says that you snore and if you stop breathing at night and that sort of thing, but.
I snored 40 pounds ago. I don't snore now. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
The less I weigh, the less I snore. Nice. But occasionally, if I'm on my back, I've never been a good back sleeper anyway. So if I'm on my back, I'll kind of do a little of that.
Oh, for sure. Back sleeping. Yeah, it's
that's the worst.
Sorry, Shoujo. I should have muted. I love hearing Brian blow his nose first thing in the morning.
Oh, did you do a nose blow? I missed it.
I did, but I apologize if I should have muted. I'm sorry.
You didn't farmer blow into your coffee cup? That didn't happen?
Okay. Oh, God, no. I can't do that. I can't either. Too worried about missing. Like, you know, leave it to Puck. You know, Puck can do that. I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, these farmer blowers, you do you. You do you. Anyway, they've actually tested their... They tested these creatures to see if this negatively impacts them to be half awake and half asleep or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They remain as alert and perceptive during their waking hours as ever. So they've figured out a way. Ooh. Evolution finds a way.
That's amazing to be able to, like, you know, get the rest you need, but still have some consciousness to be able to be aware of predators coming.
Yeah. Now, here's a fun one.
Yeah.
Vacuums, the earliest known vacuums, the cleaners, rather, vacuum cleaners.
Vacuums. Donnie says vacuums.
That's right. Yeah. Were originally horse-drawn. That's how they got going there.
Horse-drawn vacuums?
Yep. One of the earliest known vacuum cleaners, so large. It had to be hauled into a house, hauled house to house via horse-drawn carriage. Its giant hoses were propped through the windows of the customers. Gas-powered motors generated the suction and pulled the dirt and debris into glass containers where the onlookers would gawk at the volume that was coming out of their homes.
Look at how dirty Jezebel's house is. Oh, my gosh.
Yep, and then they'd clippity-clop out of there with their horses. Go to the next one. I mean, you all look, you look at your fancy, I don't know, what's a cool vacuum now? The Dyson.
Well, the Dyson, sure. We got a Dyson.
Sure. I like Dysons. We have a Dyson also, and it's that thing's, I'll say this for Dyson. Like, it works as good as any other good vacuum. Like, the suction and all that's fine. Mm-hmm. What amazes me about the Dysons is... they're not perceptibly made of like different plastics or anything else that I can tell from other vacuums, but somehow they last way longer.
Yeah.
Way longer. They last forever. I think we bought that thing in, I don't know, 2003. Still, it's still awesome and has never had signs of anything.
Completely fine. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. They don't make it like that anymore. Or I guess Dyson does, but nobody else does. That's why you pay so much for those things, because you're going to keep it for...
That's why they're so expensive, because they last, but still.
Yeah, exactly. If you're like, man, that's too much, I'm not paying that much. Okay, well, get ready for every couple of years getting a new vacuum.
Yeah. Right. Figure out how much it costs to replace your crappy Kirby.
Yeah, you turds.
Every couple of years.
All right, here's one. The largest padlock in the world weighs... guess how much? You tell me what you think this weighs.
I'm going to guess 1 ton.
Let's see. Well, you're not that far off.
2,000 pounds.
Okay. Oh, no, you're actually half off. 900,
it's 2 ton?
916 pounds. 1 ton, roughly.
Okay.
This is
great. No, that's half a ton.
That is... wait. Yeah, half a ton.
A ton is 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I said. Half ton. Didn't I say that? I thought I said that.
I thought you said... you said... first you said half that, and then you said, no, about that, 1 ton. But never mind.
Oh. Yeah, no. 2,000 is 1 ton.
Yeah.
I can't even get my tons right. My tonnage is wrong.
1 ton tomato. It's half a ton.
Half a ton. Created by a team of students and teachers at the Palavo Arts College in Russia. In Russia, padlocks you. measures 56.8 inches tall, 41.3 inches wide, 10 inches deep, and is a hefty lock, including a key. That part of the weight, whatever it's protecting, presumably weighs a lot more than that. So, I think it was just made for fun.
How many people does it take to turn the key in that thing?
I don't know. How many Russians does it take to open a half ton key or a half ton lock? I don't know.
Right. And what's it locking? I mean, there's so many questions. Why is why?
For Putin's secret for residence. Why? I don't know. Who knows? Pandas, they poop everything. 30 pounds of the stuff every day. Almost everything they eat.
30 pounds of poop a day?
Yep. They barely retain any of it. They eat only bamboo, right?
Uh-huh.
It's also very hard to digest. That means to get enough nutrients, they got to eat about 30 pounds of the stuff per day, and they defecate about 4/5 of that every day. So they hardly keep any of it. You think you're bad with the
Taco Bell.
Yeah, the Taco Bell the next day.
Or the, the Pope, they're close to the airport.
Damn straight. Okay, here's one I didn't expect. This threw me. McDonald's introduced the drive-thru service due to the military.
Speaking of poop. Really?
Yeah. Okay. This is crazy. The first McDonald's drive-thru was installed in a restaurant based in Sierra Vista, Arizona, located near the Fort Hachawaha something military installation. Can't tell what that word is.
That's it. Yep.
Military rules forbade the soldiers from wearing their military uniforms in public, and they weren't about to change into civilian clothes just to grab a burger and run back to the base. So the restaurant manager, David Rich, came up with a solution, cut a hole in the wall and allowed members of the military to pick up their order without stepping out of their car. The convenience and simplicity of the idea quickly caught on. Now everybody does it. So that's why they did it. Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay.
Now someone's going to write in and go, actually, Dave Thomas freaking rubbed his wiener one day and went, wait, how about a walk or drive up or whatever? And if they do, that's fine. Give me some proof. That's give me fine. Some citations. Yeah,
let's see the discerning opinion. No, that's really cool. Interesting. Like the military. There we go. Bringing us drive-thrus and freedom.
All right. What household object do you think Alfred Hitchcock was frightened of?
Oh, all right. Let's see.
Household item, and I'll say that it would be...
a stalk of celery, wasn't it? He was afraid of a stalk of celery.
I'll give you... you know what? You're closer than you think.
Oh, really?
And by that, I mean...
I'll say the refrigerator.
All right. You would... let's make it more... let's say you're closer because it's a food item. So think of a food item. What food item is Alfred Hitchcock terrified of?
Good evening. What food item...
Let's see. What would be a frightening? I mean, a kumquat is pretty damn frightening.
I agree.
Cucumbers can be terrifying.
Yeah, they can be very frightening. Yeah.
A banana. Let's say a banana. All just right. So I can keep moving.
Fair enough. Here's the answer. It's actually eggs. It's a frightened of eggs.
Eggs, really?
Yeah. Here's a quote. He actually said this in 1963. I'm frightened of eggs. Worse than frightened, they revolt me. What white...
you're doing a great impersonation of Lorne Michaels right now, and I don't want you to stop.
You tell that Jimmy Fallon, he's going to be great one day. The white round thing without any holes. And when you break it inside, there's that yellow thing, round, without any holes. Blood is jolly red, but egg yolk is yellow, revolting. I'll never taste one, he says.
Wow. Yeah. My gosh, he's interesting. Yeah. He needs holes. Like that. His complaint is lack of holes. So give me a good donut. See, I'm going to just lean right into Lorne Michaels. Dana, please bring me a donut.
Oh, can we talk about how I had to bounce from that podcast? I wanted to like it so bad, and there were so many great guests.
You know what? Once I just accepted the fact that no former SNLer is going to go on there without listening to an episode and know that they're technically going to be the fly on the wall while David and Dana talk.
They just don't. I mean, look. As somebody who talks for a living, I get it. You need to be talking, but those two really like the sound of each other's voices. Like that's all they want to do. And when they bring in a guest, it seems like prime time to really dig into who this guest is. It's like, oh, you got so and so, awesome,
Mike Judge. Oh, let's hear about Mike Judge.
Yeah, let's hear this guy the whole time. No, let's have these two banter constantly so that Mike Judge barely talks. Oh, it really bugged me.
The thing that. You almost can see it coming is when Dana Carvey really wants to do an impersonation of somebody. And so he's like talking to the guests and saying, so you'd say it's kind of like, I don't know, like if Mickey Rooney was watching a football match.
Yep.
Hey, I'm watching football. Hey, look at me. I'm watching football.
Yeah. Everything is like this weird. I don't know. I had this I had this feeling when he was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Seinfeld. And I had the same feeling that he wouldn't shut up. He just would not be quiet. I don't mean just be quiet, but just like stop thinking it was all about his turn to say something.
Yes. And nudging it towards what he does best, which are impersonations. Yeah. But,
it's rough,
man. I just finished listening to the Ellen Cleghorn one, which I thought was really good, but I almost want to like make a diagram of like 5 minutes of that show. And tweet it to Dana and David and say, here's how much you guys talked, and here's how much Ellen Cleghorn talked during this sample 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, just a pie graph with a little sliver of time she got.
Yeah.
Just bums me out. Anyway, there's that.
Because I really like those guys.
Yeah, they're great. They're funny as hell, no doubt. But, boy, they like talking. Pigs don't sweat. You probably knew that.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
I feel like I knew that one too. They don't have any sweat glands.
They perspire.
So, yeah. That's why.
First of all, Hawkeye, I don't sweat. I perspire.
I perspire. Yeah, they roll around in the mud.
I don't perspire.
They roll in the mud to get clean and to avoid the to gaze off. of the predator. The predator can't see them if they're covered in cold mud.
Quit spoiling Prey.
It's spoiling the original Predator more than Prey. But there are things in Prey.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah.
They play with that some.
I'm sure they do. They can't not.
Yeah. The fuller your fridge, the more energy efficient it is.
Ooh.
So put more shit in there. Yeah, because they're all the cold items are actually contributing to keeping other newer things cold more so than the actual device. If it's like three or four items, the fridge is doing all the work. So pack that fridge, baby. Get it in there.
Oh, man. Two recent things I got that I got to talk about how awesome they are that are in my fridge right now.
Yeah.
Both at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Their chimichurri sauce. This is like this little tub you get in the refrigerator section. And I put a dollop of that in my scrambled eggs as I'm scrambling the eggs, as I'm mixing them up sorry, Alfred Hitchcock, before I cook them. Yeah. And then cook them, and it's like they're cooked into the eggs. Yeah. They're so damn good. Chimichurri sauce. And then the sweet and hot jalapenos. So I had this recipe a while back of these candied jalapenos, right, that you'd have to pickle, and they'd have to sit there for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now I'm just going to go buy them from freaking Trader Joe's. Yeah. It's a jar of them.
Yeah.
And they are so good.
Dude, Trader Joe's is the greatest place to buy groceries in the history of the world.
It kind of is. It's expensive, but it's still kind of really good.
I mean, it is, but it isn't. Like, I found we get, well, it's a trade-off, right? Like, there's some stuff that's cheaper and still better, but then there's things that are more expensive, but so much better.
So much better Trader Joe's,
I love it there.
Yeah.
All right. Umbrellas.
Swan sauce bio cow? Okay, I'll have to look for that.
Oh. Trader Joe's is so cheap, says...
Says Kissy Bears.
Yeah, my experience is for the most part, you can really save money there, but if you want certain items, you're going to pay more for those.
There are a few things that are a little bit more expensive. Boy, they're wine, though. I mean, you can get the $3 chuck there, which is the Charles whatever wine, which isn't bad.
It's
better than $3 wine should be.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. Yeah, I can't think of anything bad I ever had at Trader Joe's. It's freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Umbrellas were once only used by women, Brian. Only women used umbrellas.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. They did it, let's see, associated with the fashionable parasols women would carry with them in nicer days to keep the sun from their skin. But in the mid-18th century, the barriers started to fall, with public figures like philanthropist Jonas Halloway carrying umbrellas during public events. And then soon others took notice and said, you know what? We could also keep the sun off our face and the rain off our clothes. We don't have to be fancy men. We can just be like the ladies.
Excellent. Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my favorite.
All right.
number 16 on this list is squirrels are behind most power outages in the United States. Most of them.
Really? Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, this feels like some squirrel hate coming, but all right.
The American Public Power Association, or APPA, have a data tracker. It's called the Squirrel Index. That's how big this is. It analyzes the patterns and timings of squirrels' impact on electrical power system. Turns out the peak times of the year for squirrels attacking are from May to June and October to November. So we're about to enter. We've exited... high squirrel time. We're
squirrel.
Going back in soon. Typically, the squirrels cause problems by tunneling, chewing, etc., through electrical insulation or becoming a current path between electrical conduits. So basically, they get
just
shocked.
Like Scrat.
Yeah.
I'm just visualizing.
It is like Scrat.
Yeah. Just visualizing Scrat.
Scrat
chewing
was great.
On a cable.
Scrat was the best part of those movies.
I think so. I agree.
All right, I'll give you one more.
Scrat was the Sergio Aragonés comic in the Mad Magazine movie that was Ice Age.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, he was like Scrat was like the border. Yeah, that's a great, that's a perfect way to put it. Here's your
normal
thing.
You can have that one, Scott. You can tweet that one out later. It's all yours.
It's just excellent. I could never think of a good way to explain it, but that's what Scrat's job is in those things and why he didn't have, I know he had a couple of shorts dedicated to him.
Yeah.
But why he didn't have this runaway, you know,
success
on his own, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. All right. Spider webs.
Ooh, yep.
Yeah, they're cool.
A good No Doubt song, and also a...
a thing that comes out of the butt. Well, not really. The
thing
butt,
that comes out of the butt of a spider.
Yeah, the bum spider bum.
Spider bum.
It's ancient Greece and Rome, or this is when this happened. Doctors used to use spider webs to make bandages for their patients.
Really?
Yeah, they believed, this is supposedly because we don't know. I mean, we probably know now, but they believed that they had natural antiseptic and antifungal properties. I never trust anything that says, believed to have something properties.
It does feel like just wild speculation, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, the thing that just came out of a spider's butt, I'll bet that has antifungal properties.
To me, it's like,
because you never see mold on it.
It's like these Planters dry roasted peanuts I've been eating. It says here, heart healthy with a big heart logo. And then below it says, may reduce the risk of heart disease. May.
It's their safe word. It's their weasel word, as Randy called it during film sec.
He was right about that.
Really? Did you look it up? Did you look up the how good peanuts are for you?
No, I didn't do any of it, but I think he's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. It was also said that spider webs are rich in vitamin K, which helps promote clotting. So next time you're out of bandages, head to your attic and grab some webacillin. Bandages. Yeah, some spider. I can't think of another one. That's all I got.
We had a question last night. Speaking of vitamin K, one of our questions, a whole round, they gave us a sheet that had listed riboflavin, niacin, you know, basically listed all of these real names for vitamins or scientific names for vitamins. And then we had the A, B1, B2, B3, B9, C, and we had to match up like, oh yeah, ascorbic acid is vitamin C. Great. We got that one.
Yeah.
We floundered with a lot of the rest of these.
Well, they're hard. There's a bunch.
They are hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Without looking them up, how the heck do you know? You don't memorize that stuff.
Yeah, we didn't do well, but apparently nobody did well on that round.
one last mention. I won't read the whole thing, but I didn't realize this was true, and our Swedish listeners can confirm, but blood donors in Sweden receive a text when their blood is used. That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like when your Amazon package is 10 stops away.
Yeah. It's like, hey.
Your blood was just put into Larry Gamalka of 14th Avenue.
That's right. And over there it'd be Bjorn Borka got a freaking shoddy or 00 negative or whatever the hell you got.
That blood has a license to kill, I hear.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, that's it for your fun list. Now it's our fiduciary duty here on the show to inform you as to what happened recently in the headlines. So it's time for the news. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by the aforementioned bean-based spaghetti noodles. We don't know what kind of beans they are, but they're great.
My wife would tell me if she was here. She's not. But I can't remember. But they're really good. I really recommend them. I honestly can't tell the difference between that and some, you know, fat pasta. And they always, I don't feel gross after. They're great. They're real good.
Noodles & Company has some pretty good, like, zoodle, like the zucchini noodle options. But there's some that are made with, maybe it's beans. It's made with some other vegetable. And they taste like pasta as opposed to zoodles just being like little strips of zucchini.
Yeah, which I enjoy. Yeah. In its own way.
But, I like those too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
I just wish that place would clean their floors, man. Every time I go in there.
Oh, really? You have a dirty floor at Noodles & Company?
Well, they use carpet for some reason. God. They get that, like, the short business carpet, you know?
Yeah, it's right there in the name. Company's coming. Clean your floors.
Or maybe it's the company part that made them get, like,
maybe it's right. It's floor. Actually, it's not the noodles. It's the company that dirtied their floors. Maybe.
Yeah. Chickpea, that's it. I guess it is garbanzo then. Okay. Yeah, chickpea.
Garbanzo,
beans.
Chickpeas, sewer peas, all the same thing.
Sewer peas?
Sewer peas.
I've never heard of sewer peas. That's gross.
Yes.
I don't want that.
Not spelled the same way, though.
Oh, more like sewer, like.
S-E-U-E-R peas? No, S-U-E-U. I knew it was like, it's like, is it or those sweet peas? Well, maybe I've been getting them wrong. I thought sewer peas were
a different
another name for chickpeas.
So many peas. You know?
I keep seeing Le Sewer as a brand.
Yeah, I never even heard of this sewer peas.
Let's see here. Hold on. I'm trying to.
Someone at home's already going, isn't that where all the pee goes in the sewer?
sewer
pea.
Yeah, I guess. Chickpeas. I can't find the other name. I always thought that sewer peas was another name for chickpeas, but it was spelled S-U-E-U-R.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, chickpeas are definitely the base of these, and they're like, I don't even know how to describe them. They're so good.
I love it. I love garbanzo beans.
Yeah.
And, you know, hummus and all that stuff.
Yeah. So many things come out of those. Those beans really are pliable, I guess.
You know? They are magical beans. They're a magical fruit.
Yeah. The more you eat, the more you toot. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the thing. They don't make me toot.
It's been said.
Yeah, they don't make me toot in this form. I don't know why.
No. The more you eat, the more you dream, apparently.
Yeah, the more I dream. And the more I dream, the more I tell on the show. So let's have things for every mo. All right. Couldn't rhyme it. Let's get to this first story. A confused and jealous wife in the news. Oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to have a confused wife. We've got a confused and jealous wife.
It's a horrible combination right there.
Yeah, bad combo. She's stabbed her husband after seeing her younger self in old photos. She thought it was somebody he was cheating with.
Who is this young hot woman that you're with? Yep. Oh.
Yep. Oh, it's me. Oops, I've stabbed you. Yeah. A woman stabbed her husband several times after thinking she found photos of him with a younger woman. It turns out that she herself was that older, or that other woman. The photo of the couple was taken years ago, and they were when they were dating, police in Sonora, Mexico said. Authorities from the municipality of Kajim or Kajeme. Or
it's Nathy Kajeme, yeah.
Is it Kajeme? I don't know.
No, I think it's Kajeme.
Kajeme? Oh, yeah, because the Kajeme. J, we're in Mexico. Anyway, reported the suspect identified only as Lenora N. was arrested after wounding her husband, Juan N., with a knife after finding several of these photos. Now, what I want to know is, did she not notice that her husband looked younger in these photos?
Right, yeah. There's so many questions.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Hell hath no fury, like a confused, jealous woman scrolling through Amazon photos.
That's right. The husband, he's the one that managed to take the knife from her in the end, explained that the photos were from back when they were more youthful and slim. I think your wife might have some memory issues. Anyway.
Yeah, definitely, yes. Yeah. Heavy on the confused.
Yeah. Low on the anger management. Juan apparently convinced his wife that he had digitized the old snapshots to store on his phone. Fortunately for the man, the police arrived at the scene after neighbors heard screaming and sounds of the scuffle. They have not charged her yet. But, yeah, that's you're a little too jealous when it's your own image that makes you fly off the handle.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe, maybe he's been doing stuff and this is just the latest thing and now he's got an excuse, but before this he was like dallying around. I don't know,
maybe. And she's, you know, she's basically got cause for worry, like there's a precedent set.
Yeah, something's
that's probably weird. I bet
something's a little weird there. Don't know what it
she's just looking for some reason to stab him, I think.
That sounds about right.
You make this snorting noise in the middle of your sleep when you sleep on your back.
Ear, stab. Check
peanuts in the bed.
If you lived in Nevada, which, you know, Brian only visits there. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to live in Nevada.
No, nobody wants to live. That's not true. People want to live in Nevada just fine.
sorry, Shoujo.
Yeah, you guys are all great. But a copy and paste error resulted in a Nevada home buyer getting 87 properties for the price of one house.
Jackpot!
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
Exactly, yeah.
A Nevada home buyer literally got more than she bargained for and ended up with an entire swath of lots in a subdivision in west central part of the state while buying a single family home. The buyer was originally purchasing a single family home in Sparks, Nevada, valued at $594,000. Jeez, wow. Just a couple years ago, that would have been like $220,000.
Yeah, right, yeah. Probably.
However, the Washoe County, Nevada assessor and Washoe County recorder's office had records showing the buyer gained not just the property she was buying, but also 84 extra houses, including two parcels in Toll Brothers Stone Brook Development, just northeast of Reno.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was learning how to use Microsoft Word, and I didn't know the copy and paste and just,
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It got flagged, of course, and then it quickly notified the company involved, and everybody, you know, freaked out. But it was somebody just accidentally did a bad copy and paste.
Jeez. Wow.
And so it doesn't stick. I'm afraid to tell you, lady. You don't get all.
They didn't get to keep it?
No, they don't. No.
Clerical error in your favor. Collect 84 lots.
Man, if that were true, I'm trying to think of something that happened to me. I can't think of anything. Nothing ever happens in my favor. But if I've ever had a mistake in my favor,
yeah,
it'd be great if you could go, oh, I'm sorry, insurance company, you only charged me $1 for my $800 visit?
Right.
Sweet.
Right.
I'll just pay that dollar. No, they always...
Yeah, you just, you know, listen, when stuff like that happens, it is our duty to not report it and just smile and say, one for me.
Yeah, one for me. I do like the idea that James screwed it up. I think we should send this.
Yes. Or as somebody, Captain Kipper, no, somebody said, no, Free Rangers asked, why is it Steve Buscemi? It's like, oh, where have you been? Come on.
Oh, you got it. If you knew
James Adams.
Yeah. If you knew James, you'd know that what Brian did there was a dead on James impression. But that's the problem. He's kind of a low key guy.
He
might even be a same sex Mary fan, but you don't hear him talking on the albums. You just hear him sing.
Yeah, you just hear him sing. Yeah.
It's dead on. But I do kind of want to send him the link on text and say, yo, bro, this you, or something like that. Just see what he says. Just see if I can get a little rise out of him, you know?
Yeah, right, sure. Did you do this?
Yeah,
I'm hoping to see them at the beginning of September. I think they're going to make it. I've already got like a few things kind of planned for this kind of guys trip that we're taking out there. Me and Barry and Tristan and the real Chris Brown. We're going to this place called The Cabinet, which is a new bar in Bally's that has a hidden speakeasy behind a safe door.
Whoa. Do you have to have a keyword? Right. What do you have to do?
You have to have a password, yeah. And you have to pick up the phone next to the safe and ask them for the password. And then a little tiny hole opens up on the safe and you go through there.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah,
love that
super
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. They have to tell me how that goes. It's called The Cabinet, it's called? What a weird name.
It's called The Cabinet, yeah.
Yeah. Odd name.
It is, yeah.
Where was I?
Well, it's like a cabinet of curiosities is the reason it's called that. Like they've got all sorts of weird crap on the walls and stuff.
Yeah, like you do in Vegas.
It's like satanic TGI Fridays or something.
Got severed goat heads and things up there.
That's right. Thank God it's June 6th, 1966.
That's right. All right. One story here about a builder. Guy's building a house. This is in the UK, so I guess, you know, Zoe and Claire and all you get excited.
Uh-huh.
Got hit by a bottle of pee.
Bottle of pee.
Yep. Got dropped from a crane in Worthing. And he's recovering at home. It's actually hit him pretty hard.
Jeez.
The man who was part of a team of builders working on a new healthcare center, or as they say in the UK, sentry. They don't say that, but they spell it that way. In Worthing, was taken to the hospital. He is now recovering at home. An eyewitness said the worker was out cold after the bottle hit him in the head.
I was been hit by something warm.
Yeah, that's right. The witness said somebody in the crane did something they're not supposed to do.
Oh.
Yeah. Sussex police and the health and safety executive will be investigating the accident. Police were called around 5:30 p.m. Blah, blah, blah. The man, reportedly suffered from neck pain and was told, or was taken to the hospital as a precaution. Teams of builders have been working on the site, this place in Worthing for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. Their safety is number one. The responsible contractor health and safety is Galford Try's number one priority. I don't know why they're telling us that guy's name. I don't care about that guy. Anyway, he says we can confirm the incident took place at the site. Investigations are underway. Boy, you guys make a lot out of a bottle of pee over there.
Guy said to the crane operator, "You're in so much trouble now."
Oh, man.
I submitted that as a title, too, because I wanted to do it before somebody else did.
Someone play some Urethra Franklin music.
Ah.
No, that doesn't work. How about...
For a crane operator, that guy's a real whiz.
He's a whiz at his job. Pee! anyway, they'll take care of it. It'll all work out in the end.
After their shift, they all went and got pissed.
Of course. That's what they do. They get pissed over there.
They do. Yep.
And then they took the piss out of each other, or whatever they say.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that a thing? Yep. Yeah.
It is, yeah, taking the piss.
I'm just taking the piss. We should adopt that one. That one's pretty good.
Let's do that.
Final story. California doctor says he caught his wife dumping Drano in his lemonade after he rigged the camera with kitchens. Or sorry, the kitchen with cameras.
Whoops.
Mixed two words up. That shouldn't have been. California radiologist said he was has video evidence of his wife, a dermatologist, sprinkling his drinks with dangerous household chemicals like Drano on multiple occasions. This is in Irvine, so shout out OC. They arrested 45-year-old dermatologist Dr. Yu Yu, who also,
I don't know why that's funny. It just is.
It gets even funnier with the next line.
Yeah, who also goes by Emily. All right, that's fine. Last week on suspicion of poisoning, she has not been yet formally charged. Dr. Jack Chen, her 53-year-old husband, filed for an order of protection on Friday. I am fearful of being in the same home and in the presence of respondent due to respondent's recorded attempts to poison me with Drano.
Dang.
You don't have to call her respondent. It's your freaking wife.
You know, legal terminology. They have to do this thing, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so, but you could say your wife. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. He wants a restraining order. Drano is a brand name chemical used that the government describes as very dangerous if ingested or inhaled or placed in contact with your eyes or skin.
Oh, thank you, U.S. government, for describing Drano, for Drano-splaining to us.
Drano-splaining, drain-splaining.
Yeah. Drain-splaining.
There were some famous killings here in Utah back in the 80s, early 80s, maybe late 70s. I was a tiny kid, so I don't remember much about it. But they were famous because they went to like a somebody's hardware store or something like that, kicked in the doors, broke in. They thought they were just going to take money, but they ended up torturing the people living there or working there. And they did everything from forcing them to drink Drano.
Oh, my God.
Some of them had them pour Drano in their ears. What was the other thing? Oh, kicked pens in their ears and junk like that. It's bad.
This sounds like that that movie that I was trying to think of a few weeks ago. Somebody finally did tell me what it was, but I still... And now, again, I can't remember it. But it was like where this group of people breaks into this house and they've got masks and stuff. And I think I... figured out it's got Naomi Watts or not Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts?
What is that? I know this movie.
Yeah, but anyway, like they basically just torture the family as opposed to just, you know, taking stuff and leave,
yeah. Oh, yeah. The Hi-Fi Murders, that's right. Captain Kipper has it. That's exactly what they were called, yeah. I think there was a TV movie made and some other stuff, I don't know.
Strangers, is that the movie I'm trying to remember?
Is it Strangers? Ooh.
Strangers.
That sounds horrible. I don't want to see that movie.
No, I don't either.
I like horror movies, but that's awful.
That's definitely a, 2008 Strangers. Liv Tyler, maybe that's who I'm thinking of. Liv Tyler, let's see. Whose stay at a vacation home is disrupted by three masked criminals who infiltrate the home.
Oh, The Strangers.
Just Stranger. Oh, The Strangers, yep.
The one in 08, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Gemma Ward, Liv Tyler, Scott Speedman. Oh, yeah, Scott Speedman.
Gemma Ward, yeah. Dollface, Pinup Girl. Those are the masks I seem to remember seeing on the movie poster.
Damn, dude. That sounds gnarly. All right. Well, call your dad, Steven, and tell him you need help. All right. That's it for today's news. We will now take a break, and when we come back, we'll spend some time with Bill and then Bobby, and then we'll see what we have time for. We don't know. We're a little bit short today. But Brian, you got to play a song, so play that song.
Yeah, let's go to a soulful pop singer-songwriter named Hunter Moreau, spelled like the island of Doctor, .. Brand new single from her called Be All Right. This is, I don't know, it's got shades of Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift, but also... singers outside of the pop world. I really, really dig this. It is called Be All Right. Here is full name, Hunter Moreau.
Went to the corner store to pick up my serotonin. The shelves were empty. They were all out of stock. Called up a friend of a friend. Said that I'd owe him. He sold the last of it. Just my luck. Looking for the green lights. I think it's gonna be fine. Cause it might be a mess, but this mess is mine. Yeah, it might be a mess, but I'll be alright. I'll be alright. I'm glad I dropped out of college. Cause it's a good life. And I got time. And I know my mom worries. But I'll be alright. I'll be alright. I'll be alright. I'll be alright. Cause it's 85 and I'm in my prime. And I got some friends I like. I'll be alright. Yeah, I might be a mess, but I'll be alright. I think it's gonna be fine. Cause it might be a mess, but this mess is mine. Yeah, it might be a mess, but I'll be alright. I'll be alright, I'll be alright. I'll be alright, I'll be alright.
it's 85 and I'm in my prime and I got some friends I like. I'll be alright. Yeah, I might be a mess, but I'll be alright.
The morning stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
And we're back. Who is that one more time?
Nothing like a song from Hunter Moreau called Be All Right.
I like how deep she went into explaining how all the things were Chick-fil-A brand. So
now I'm starting to think that she's hoping for some sort of sponsorship. She wants some, like, she wants to be the Jared of
maybe
of Chick-fil-A or Starbucks or Walmart or something.
Yeah, stop short of the part where Jared goes to prison for
yeah, stop short of that part. Maybe she wants to be the Herb of
the Herb. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've got my eye on her, though. We'll see how things go.
Yeah. Oh, TV's Travis says, actually, it might be Funny Games because that's the one that has Naomi Watts. So that is probably the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Similar plot to The Strangers.
I like the one that's like a reverse of that where they break in and then the guy from Avatar ends up being a blind veteran from the Marines or whatever and kicks the shit out of everybody. What was that
called? Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I can't remember. They thought he was an easy target because he's blind and old and all that. And then when they go in there to get him, he turns out to be just like freaking Ninja John Wick and just destroys everybody. I can't remember the name of the movie, though. It's really good, though. Anyway, hey, guys, what's this?
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us from the beautiful parts of the world over there known as the Pacific Northwest and also the fantastic company that he started called punishprops.com. He's here to talk about making things like he does every Tuesday. Bill, welcome back.
Hello.
Hello.
Happy to be here.
Hello.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Getting excited. We're going to Dragon Con this year.
Oh, my gosh. Are you?
I saw your tweet about that.
What are the dates? When is it this year? Same as always?
Labor Day weekend.
September 2nd.
Same as it ever was. All right.
Same as it ever was.
No, that's
same
cool. As it ever was. Are you, so this is a couple of years you haven't been. So this is your first year back in a couple, right?
Yeah. It's been 2 years. Very excited.
Nice.
Is it like same setup as far as like four hotels stretched through? Like they are just saying, yep, we're just going right back to normal. Everybody's wearing a mask anyway, so.
Right. They actually ran it last year. They had the event last year. I did not go.
Yeah. Okay.
So hopefully they figured everything out last year, and this year it'll be smooth sailing for me.
You got a big cosplay fan or plan for who you're going to be or whatever?
Working on costumes from the game Satisfactory.
Oh, very nice.
Yep. Oh, cool.
The Pioneers. It's like a sci-fi factory worker with a cool space helmet that I'm working on right now. Actually, the parts are printing right now.
They are very cool suits in that game, but you see them in co-op, obviously. You just see your friends, but you never really see yourself in it because it's all first person. That's a really cool pull, though. I think people dig it. That's good. I like it.
And Brittany and I are each making one. We both play the game a lot, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of fun, you're always up to something, working on something cool. Mm-hmm. Tell us what we got going this week.
I wanted to muse a little bit with my creative friends. So you guys probably took some art history classes, right?
Sure did.
I know I took a lot of art history classes.
Yeah.
So there are all these fun, like, there are these specific periods in history where artistic movements kind of jumped forward, right? Made a lot of really cool creative art. We think of the Renaissance, obvious one, the French Impressionism, another good time. That got a name, right? It got the Renaissance. What about right now? What are they going to call this period of art, I wonder? Because I think we're going through an artistic movement right now.
Yeah.
and I'm curious how history's going to look back on it.
Yeah, I wonder too. I also think we're on the precipice of some weirdness. And by that, I mean, I think... So, okay, somebody showed me this the other day, and it kind of weirded me out. There's a lot of talk about AI and AI being able to sort of do enough for let's say you're making an RPG game, and you need 50 portraits for your, you know, your Baldur's Gate-like RPG. And these little fantasy portraits, guy's got a patch and a bald head, and the other next person's got a big full beard and he's some kind of warrior guy with an axe half shown in the image or whatever it is. It used to be you would commission an artist and they would make, or they worked there and they would make all of these portraits one by one for your game. It is now not only feasible, but 100% possible to just feed information into an AI and have it spit these images out and have them look as good as you want them to look. And you didn't have to pay anybody. Now, that's one thing. Fine, whatever. It helps with automation. Fine. But I also heard about this site where their whole thing is we do AI-generated art, and we do it based on the style of the artist you want. Mm-hmm. So you can go over there and say, like Brian's always bringing up Bill Sienkiewicz from Marvel fame. I want Sienkiewicz looking, you know, Batman. They'll do it. And they'll, and Bill gets no credit or money for it. He gets nothing for it. They just get this AI who spits out this art based on the style of some famous artist you mentioned. Could be dead, could be alive. It doesn't matter. That's a little worrisome for me. Mm-hmm. So what I hope, to bring it back to your point, what I hope happens is we'll look back on these initial years of digital art mixed with traditional art and how it connected art to people and vice versa, that we'll look at that as a real renaissance period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we might be heading down a little bit of a dark ages moment of like, it's going to get a little bit weirder before it gets better. So I'm both excited for how this will be viewed and a little nervous about how the next phase gets viewed. But anyway, that's just been on my mind. Wanted to fart it out there since you brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely. I like to look at the example from French Impressionism. That was a response to the camera. To photography. Mm-hmm. And I like to, I don't know what's going to happen with AI art. I haven't really been investigating it too much, but my initial thought is that artists will do what they did back then, where it was perfect. This machine, this technology could make a perfect representation of whatever you pointed it at. And people like, ooh, art is dead. And then the fresh impressionists were like, well, we can do stuff with paint that you can't do with a photograph. So we're going to go off in this crazy tear and make something that no one has even heard of before. So my hope is that with AI art, it will drive artists to figure out what version of that is for us right now and make some really weird, wacky stuff that can only be made by a human somehow. I don't know what that is, but I bet people are, we have top men on the case.
Top men.
That's right.
Men.
Especially though. So originally I want to talk about now as like art history sort of thing. People are getting crazy good at art now. Like, I think better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
In almost every regard. Like if you watch a movie from the 50s, it's good, but the way people acted back then is not how people act in real life. And I feel like nowadays actors act a lot more naturally. In a way I think is more believable.
Sure.
But also in movies, practical effects have gotten way better. Visual effects have gotten way better. Props and costumes are just crazy good. Drawing and painting, both digital and real, has gotten amazingly good. I follow so many illustrators online, and I can watch them get better in real time on Instagram. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. You just flip down their little catalog there, and it's like, oh, my gosh, even in a couple of years, you can see huge jumps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Sculpture, music, everything. I observe all this stuff all day, every day, and it just, for the last, like, 20 years, and it just, it feels like it's exploding.
Yeah.
One of the reasons is, like, tools are getting better, easier, and cheaper, especially, like, digital tools. We'll take my example. I used 3D Studio Max in like 1998.
Yeah.
compared to 3D modeling tools now, it's night and day. It's just crazy how much better and easier they are to use.
Sure.
Art supplies have become commoditized enough that they're super cheap, like paintbrushes, that sort of stuff is really cheap now. Like with digital stuff, not only is it good now, but a lot of it's free. A lot of it's cheap or free. You can do it right on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
There are apps on your phone where you can produce an entire electronic song, like electronic music.
Even the jumps in digital have been significant in the sense of, like, you know, 6-7 years ago, mm-hmm. your option was, if you really wanted to do killer stuff, your option was to go buy about a $3,000 Wacom tablet and mm-hmm. attach it to your already $2,000 computer or whatever. Subscribe to Photoshop or some other thing, and that was just kind of the way. It's still attainable, but it was, you know, a little more of a wall. These days, mm-hmm. you can literally go buy a very capable iPad Pro or even lesser iPad with pencil support, get Procreate for $15, and bam, you're in it for less than your Wacom would have cost you. And there are people doing entire comic book runs, paintings that get blown up to billboard size or whatever. Like, it's just within your hand. It's within your reach mm-hmm. more than it's ever been. It's amazing. Yeah.
And this all gives, especially young people who have a lot of time, it gives them an opportunity to practice a lot, like way more than you could if you had to, like, fill a sketchbook or cover a canvas and then get a new canvas. Like, everyone's getting tons and tons of repetition.
Yeah.
The knowledge is more available. You know, obviously YouTube is just awash with tutorials. And that people share. So people, when someone invents a new technique, I know in cosplay, whenever someone invents something new, first thing they do is share it with everyone else. So the knowledge base in a creative community is, like, raising across the board. Everyone learns as people invent new techniques.
Yeah.
But also, it's possible to, like you could follow the coolest artist that you could imagine on Instagram and then send them a message. And it's likely they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if, like, Picasso was on Twitter?
Right? You'd respond to all your questions. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could tweet him and he would get back to you. That's just mm-hmm. that thought mm-hmm. blows my mind. But we can do that now. There are just so many amazing artists online that you can follow, and it's a good chance they'll get back to you.
It's true of writers. It's true of directors. It's true of almost anybody now, which is mm-hmm. great, because it's that gap of you're in some rarefied space and we're all just plebeians lapping up your work is it's not what it used to be. It's now it's a much right. closer knit relationship than ever.
Yeah. So I do hope that history looks back on this time and remembers this giant cheap leap forward we took, because it's been pretty cool to live through it.
I agree. It's easy to get wrapped up in all the downsides of mm-hmm. Society getting too close to each other and forget that, you know, these are massive leaps forward in just how we interact. I mean, the fact that I can hang up with you and I could call Patrick right now and talk to him in Helsinki, Finland is science fiction 50 years ago. It just didn't happen. So, you know, like I'm glad you brought it up, because it's an important thing to keep your head around. It's not all doom and gloom, baby. Sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture, and the bigger picture is we're closer than we've ever been. Everybody has more collaboration than they've ever had. It's all cheaper than it's ever been. It's all pretty cool in lots of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, I'm excited to I don't know, see where it goes. Even the weird looming AI stuff, I still want to see it play out.
Yeah, I haven't tinkered with it too much, but I'm definitely paying attention.
Yeah, you have to. How can you not, right? Somebody showed me, this would be of interest to you, somebody showed me a link, or it wasn't a link, I couldn't go use it because it's not available to everybody, but they're doing AI-generated 3D imagery now, so they're doing stuff mm-hmm. for
oh wow
printing. So if you're like, Darth Vader helmet, and it just does it. And then you've got it. And you might go in and go tweak, 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 and make a few tweaks, and boom, you're printing your thing. Or you could say Darth Vader helmet in Mad Max Fury Roadland, and it will do some crazy version of it.
Really?
And all the work's done.
Kind of weak 3D modeling a space helmet from Satisfactory.
Exactly. This is why some people are concerned, is that it's like, you know, if a digital painting takes me 40 hours, it'll take a computer 4 minutes. And and if it's good enough, right? That's the trick. Is up till now, it's all been a little weird and a little off and a little, But if it gets good enough, then you do kind of change the dynamic. I think we keep up with the dynamic. Like, I'm always mm-hmm. brought back to, you know, back in the day, there was this huge thing about Lotus 1-2-3 comes out. And the entire accounting world went, we're dead. We're doomed. Our business is ending. We're never going to need an accountant again. This is awful. It actually increased jobs in the accounting world. Mm-hmm. Not, it's like the complete opposite and in exponential numbers. So I remember that enough to know that it's easy to get like nervous about this, but the truth of it is we don't know yet. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah.
It may change everything in some other positive way. I don't know. I have to think about it. But anyway, Bill, always fun to talk about this stuff with you. And, I know you got a bonus link for us. What do you got over there?
Yeah, this is a video we made with our friend Ali Spagnola.
Oh yeah.
So she flew into Seattle a few weeks ago with a wacky project idea. She wanted to make a sculpture that is a bear with antlers. And we were able to make this entire sculpture in our basement in 2 days without buying anything. I had all the supplies. I am mighty proud.
That is awesome.
Wow.
And it was just super, super fun. Allie's got so much energy. She's a great friend and a super creative person. And the video is just fun. It's just, we just had a great time.
Oh, this looks great. I haven't watched the entire thing yet, but I saw some preview on TikTok or on her account on there, I think, and I went, oh, I need to go watch this. So now I know where to go. Go check it out. That's Alex Spagnolo's cool. account. You probably cross-posted this or something. It's probably in yours.
Probably.
Yeah, who knows? Probably.
Hey, Bill, really quick question before you go. Rainbow Bright wants to know if you're going to make the Sandman's helm.
Oh, no.
Skull,
no.
CPAP but- mask thing that he wears.
My buddy Stephen K. Smith is working on one. So if you look up his YouTube channel, he's got one he's working on. I think he's got a 1 or 2 part video series up.
Nice.
Very cool.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's Bill Duran, everybody. Chinbeard on Twitter and punishprops.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
See ya.
See Dana and David. This is how you do a guest.
That's how you let a guest talk.
Yeah, you let them speak, have their say. You know. For a whole hour and a half or however long your show was.
I'm going to do another impersonation of Lorne Michaels.
You know what I like best about Lorne Michaels is da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's a pretty good David Spade. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You should be proud of that.
Okay. All right. Well, you know.
Yeah. It's I kind of leaned into James.
Yeah,
at the end
a little more
of
James,
one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
you got 2 minutes of Bobby.
Yeah, 2 minutes of Bobby time. Or, you know, we'll see what we can do here. Where are we here? Oh, yeah, this.
Science.
Hey, you guys, science time with Bobby. Look at him. Just look at him. That's what he would look like without long hair if he cut it.
Still here.
It's all there. You know, just pulled back.
You need to do a Billy Mitchell cosplay, Bobby.
Yeah.
Did I mention this before?
No, you haven't.
Just get a killer score in like Donkey Kong and you're all set, man.
Exactly. Get a flag tie and you'd be a great Billy Mitchell cosplay.
When I was growing my hair out and it was just really big and shorter around ear length, I look remarkably almost identical to a young George Lucas.
Oh, yeah. I
can see that. Yeah.
Those old shots of him around episode 4, poking around, looking like director man. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, all right. It's good to have you here. As always, you bring science with you.
Yeah.
I would love to know what you have brought with you today. What have you brought?
Yeah, well, so I was poking around in some science stuff, and there was an article that came out recently that I thought was interesting that it touches on political science a little bit, and it's the idea that looking at the effect of television on political polarization. So a lot of times we blame social media for political polarization, right?
Yeah, usually.
Sure.
So the pipeline being like social media leads to these echo chambers, which then leads to more polarization of people, which then, you know, causes more echo chambers and so on and so forth. That's our scapegoat, right? Even I say that, you know, social media is causing the downfall of the cohesiveness of society because of this particular cycle, right?
Sure.
The problem is that whenever scientists try to do any research, because echo chambers seem to theoretically exist, we anecdotally experience them all the time. But the problem is that there's a good bit of evidence that they are either very, very weak or don't even exist at all on a large scale. That's just, anytime researchers try to look into this, they find that there's just, because of the amount of choice that people have, and when they study and look closely at how people behave on social media, it just seems that that people don't engage in these echo chambers that we think they do. They might, you know, they might say crazy things and, and have crazy opinions and everything that they express, but they're actually engaging in a lot of different places more than we realize, more than our anecdotes tell us. So if that's the case, if these echo chambers aren't existing, in the evidence shows that these echo chambers don't exist, why is polarization happening in the way? Because that, the evidence does show that people are far more politically polarized in the past.
More than we've ever been. No question about that. Yeah.
So if we thought that the obvious culprit was social media, then what is it? And so some people decided to look to an old ancient technology that some of your listeners might not know about, and it's called cable television.
Oh, cable television. Gosh, that's such an old term. Yeah, it's old.
Yeah, it turns out, so a lot of people go to, you know, their favorite podcasts or online news sites to get their political news, but it used to be you turned on the TV to get your news. And some people still do that. so they looked at that and they found that it actually turns out that a lot of polarization, political polarization, can be very strongly linked to television viewership. And it seems like television is causing more polarization than the internet is, the data shows.
Yeah.
So
well, that wouldn't surprise me. Because a lot of it comes from, 24-hour news networks and people who are really, really entrenched in their alliances there.
Yeah.
They're not letting the internet change. I mean, they may have to die off first before none of that matters.
Yeah.
Is there also like something to the theory that, you know, with streaming, you're able so quickly to get some information, digest it, go to something else, get some information, digest it, go to something else, as opposed to just locking in and not having not bothering changing the channel. You know,
just let it roll.
You're keying in on what the researchers, Brian, what the researchers also think is going on. Cause that would be the next step. Like this data doesn't really tell us why people are being polarized by television more than internet. But what some of the behaviors that they've seen, and I'm leaving some of the numbers out because they're not as important. Just know that it's strong, the effect in television. But what they have seen, the data shows, is that television viewers seem to stay on whatever they're watching. They engage with a particular polarized network. So they defined left-leaning television as things like MSNBC and CNN and anything more left-leaning than that, and right being Fox News and Breitbart and anything more right-leaning than that, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so people who are left-leaning or right-leaning on the ends of the spectrum, they tend to engage over longer periods of time, exclusively engage with their particular polarized media before ever venturing outside and looking at something else. And this we're talking about in the order of like 6 months to 12 months. That's how long people spend. If you're watching Fox News, chances are that's all you're watching. Exactly what you're saying, Brian. That's all you're watching. And you're just leaving it on and you're not changing it. And it's just when you go to the news, that's what you flip on. Mm-hmm. But people on the internet, and this is again in the data, people on the internet tend to see something and they may identify as left or right, leaning on those ends of the spectrum, but they are engaging with the other side more, media from the other side more often or more frequently than television viewers. And they think that it's because of the ease of being able to engage with those things, that because it's served to you so easily, it's so much just clicking on something and looking at it or it being shown to you on Facebook or something. That's why that's happening.
Yeah, because you can reply to a tweet. You can get into a comment thread on Facebook. You can engage in lots of ways that are not possible watching a cable news network. So it's what always throws me is if you've got the kind of life where you can just have something playing all the time while you're getting other things done.
Yeah.
I do this, but guess what I watch? I watch Futurama or old reruns of MASH or something. I watch old things, new things, whatever, but that are just sort of happening passively in the background. Why you would choose to use a cable 24-hour news network to fill that need, I don't understand. I don't understand it. But the difference is I could not understand that and never interact with people who love it. But on the internet, I cannot understand it. And I can interact with those people and find out why they feel that way or whatever.
Sure. Sure.
So this is interesting. I hadn't really thought of it.
There's a lot of there's a lot of super interesting data if you dig in deep to what they talked about and the research that they did, like how, for example, people who identify as very knowledgeable about politics or being really interested in politics, they actually tend to be less polarized in this data than people who describe themselves as not caring about politics. People who are not interested in politics end up falling on more on the more polarized ends of the spectrum than people who are interested in politics, which I thought was really interesting. I would have intuitively thought that the more into politics you are, the more you might be have an extreme view. But I guess it also makes sense that if you're into politics, you might engage in the arguments more and might think more and explore the other side's arguments and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, the hardest part for me is just when people are straight up stupid. And by that, I mean performatively stupid. I don't actually think they're stupid. I think they're just
they've
nerdled themselves into a hole so far that they'll say something that is just patently stupid, but it doesn't matter anymore because that's just the side they're on. That part's hard, and I kind of wish I couldn't interact with it.
part
of me just wishes it was a weird sideshow I could ignore entirely. But
it's important research that they do though, because I mean, I really do think that a well-functioning democracy relies on informed citizens, right? So knowing that it seems like the internet is actually, despite what it seems like, social media and the internet actually is exposing people to more views and might be having a more mitigating effect than we think. That's a promising news because, despite how things might look in the short term, that might tell us that over the long term, things might mellow out as people get better at being citizens of the internet, you know?
Yeah, because in a lot of ways, we're still in the infant stage of this thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure.
Like
yeah.
as much as we like to think, oh, the internet's old now. We've been here for a long time. What is it, 94? We got the World Wide Web. Like people can get that in their heads and think they've really mastered it or we're at the peak or whatever. But I don't think so. I think this is like
so. I'm optimistic. I'm always an optimist when it comes to this stuff.
Well, you're an optimistic guy with optimistic hair, and that's all we need. tell people where they can find your awesome science podcast, All Around Science, so they can get it and listen to more of this great commentary.
Well, you could always go to allaroundscience.com where we have all sorts of stuff there, including links to our Discord, our Patreon, our feeds, everything that you would want to see there. But if you just want to get the show, which is as podcasts, most good podcasts are free for everyone.
That's right.
That's some shade at things like Spotify right there. you can just look for All Around Science on anywhere you get podcasts.
I agree. That is a great way to find it. And also I recommend people do it because Bobby makes a fine podcast. Bobby, have a great week and may science be in your favor. Bye now.
You
thanks, Bobby.
All right.
Before I remember when Lauren was trying to explain science to me.
Dana, you.
Oh man! If it was that show, we'd never be done. But we're gonna go quick here because Brian's got to go. He's got a hard out, so we're gonna end the show. He's gonna tell me what song we're gonna play. Before he does, I'll tell you that we need your support at Patreon.com/TMS so that things like our cars getting fixed can happen.
Help pay for my car.
How else are we supposed to live? We have everyday expenses like the rest of you. So please head on over to Patreon.com/TMS today. All right, let's get out of here. Tell me your song before you fly. Yeah,
Derek Rodin said, "Hey, Charlion and Baldesian." I don't know what that is. February 1st was my 37th birthday. Oh, you share a birthday with my son, Tristan. Your podcast.
getting it in quick. Sorry.
Your podcast keeps me sane in my Canadian government job, so I truly appreciate everything that you do. Can you play a cover of Muse? While we're at it, could you pick a random sound clip 7 seconds long? So glad you didn't say, pick 43 sound clips all with the chandelier.
Yeah, no kidding. Wait a minute. So 7 seconds, he said?
7 seconds. One random 7 second sound clip.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know how to find this. Let's see. Let me see if I can do it. Nope, that's definitely too short. Okay, let me try this one.
Uncle Johnson, tell me a story.
That's definitely not it. One more try.
Frontal nudity.
Nah, I can't find one. You gotta you have to take the combo. Sorry, that's just the way
there
it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love the show, though, eh? Signed, Derek in Canada. Oh. All right, well, listen, Muse is one of my favorite bands, too. And somebody, I think it was Tristan Adams at the meetup, was pointing out that in that Woodstock 99 documentary, they talked about, oh, over on the other stage is this new up-and-coming band called Muse. So now I've really got to watch it. Anyway, this band called the Red Hot Chili Pipers released in 2016 an album called Octane, where they do bagpipe covers of a bunch of different groups, including this one by Muse. Here is their cover of Starlight. This thing is freaking awesome. It's Muse's Starlight by the Red Hot Chili Pipers. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
They're the babies.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.